Welcome to this week's sermon at Village Presbyterian Church. At Village, we seek to be shaped by the life of Christ, to practice authentic friendship, and serve the world. You're invited to join us at either our Mission Campus or our Antioch Campus. For now, we hope you hear a word for your own life in this sermon.
Our reading today comes from the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verses 9 to 18. You may find this reading on page 1086 of your pew Bible. But first, let us pray. Loving God, we come to worship with a longing in our hearts for everything that is broken to be made right, for the world to be a better place, and for our lives to better reflect your love. Speak to us once again, words of good news. May these words inspire and empower us for the week ahead. Amen. Do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he is helpful to me in my ministry. I sent Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, and my scrolls, especially the parchments. Alexander the metal worker did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. You too should be on guard against him, because he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Amen.
Oceans and rivers enough to cross. What I love about that little video is it professes that eating, like many things, is better together. But it also shows that sometimes just that simple togetherness takes some intentionality, doesn't it? We're talking about joy this month, and joy is an elusive, courageous, life-giving disposition. It's deeper than happiness, because happiness is often tied to things going well, you know, the power being on. Joy is deeper than that. It stands up in the face of the storm. Joy is tied to the confidence that the love that makes sense of the world has called my name, that I belong, that I have reason for hope. I resonate with what David White has said about joy. He says it is a deep form of love. In that sense, joy is relational. It's not a solo act. It's personal. You have joy, I have joy. It's individual, but it actually lives in us. It's rooted in us. So for that reason, I'm bringing us again to these closing words from the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy. It's the third time in 3 years I've had us read this together. It's an odd text because it's just a list of names. It's a list of names that Paul lifts up. They sort of tell the story of his life in some ways. And it's an odd text to choose for a sermon on joy, because it doesn't mention joy at all, not once. But except for the fact that we've already said, joy is not a solo act. Joy is found in community. And in this passage, it is as if Paul is gathering in his mind the people of his life story. And like most people, the people he gathers is something of a mixed bag. There are some folks who have disappointed him, some folks who have hurt him, and there are some folks who have inspired him, some folks who have loved him. He mentions Demas. In Colossians, it says Demas and Paul were associates, they were colleagues, they were in ministry together, but something happened. He said, Demas has deserted me. There were many who did that. Either because they were embarrassed because the apostles' ministry found him in prison time and again. You know how you feel when your pastor's in prison. It's embarrassing. Or maybe they were afraid. If this is what happens to him, what's going to happen to me? We don't know. Paul just with sadness says, Demas has deserted me. And there was Alexander. Alexander, he said, he did me much harm. It was a public feud. We don't know the details, but a public feud between pastors, between leaders in the church. And Paul grieved that. But then he says, the Lord will pay him back for his deeds. It almost sounds like Paul is expecting God to smite Alexander or something, but I wonder if it's not just a warning to Timothy, leave him alone. You can't fix this. Let God fix what we can't make right. As Paul rehearses these names, it becomes clear that at the end of his life, he finds himself in a hard place, not only because he is a resident of Caesar's prison, locked up because of his trust in Jesus Christ, but also because some of his relationships, his friendships, have soured. They've been falling out, and it grieves him. And yet, in the midst of this terrible time, which Paul names with honesty, he also lifts up the names of people who have stood with him, people who with whom he has shared ministry, and that is a bond that does not go away. You can hear the gratitude in his voice when he says, Luke is with me. Is this the Luke who writes the gospel? Maybe, I don't know. New Testament scholar Luke Timothy Johnson says Luke might actually be the one who is Paul's scribe, who writes down what Paul dictates. I don't know. But what I do know is that Paul celebrates that Luke has stayed faithful, that Luke has remained loyal, that Luke is in relationship, and it gives him strength and it gives him joy. Paul mentions Mark. Bring Mark. He is useful to me in my ministry. Mark may be surprised to hear this, because earlier, as Acts tells us, Paul and Mark were on a missionary journey together, and something happened, and Mark left. He went back home, and it bothered Paul. And so when Paul goes on another journey, he tells Mark, you can't come. You're not reliable. I can't depend on you. You bailed last time. You stay home. They had estrangement. But evidently now there's reconciliation. And Paul says, I'm not letting that stand in the way. You and I belong to each other. Bring Mark. I need to see him one more time. And this entire letter, of course, is written to Timothy, a man that Paul calls his son in the faith. And he writes, Timothy, I have to see you. Do your best to come before winter. I don't know that I'll last another winter. Do your best to come before winter. It is a reminder that even apostles can't make it on their own. That our faith, our life, our joy is relational. And it is in being attentive to these friendships, these relationships, that we find joy. If we're going to know that deeper joy in our lives, we'll have to be attentive to the people in our lives. Author Nicole Cliff, she put out a question on Twitter. She said, what's the kindest thing you've seen? She got a lot of responses, but one story went viral. A man named Joe replied. He responded with a story about a time when he was a manager in an LGBTQ bookstore. He told of a time that he was working, customers checking out books, he's helping them find books, and the phone rang, and he picks up the phone, expected it to be a book order, but whoever was on the phone just began to talk and was emotional. And then revealed that this person on the phone, stranger on the phone, was considering self-harm. Joe panicked. This is a bookstore, not a crisis center. He's better at telling you what's on the New York Times bestseller list than to offering emergency crisis advice. But Joe wisely assumed that as long as he could keep talking, that maybe there would be help. So he started asking questions. He remained curious. A line at the register began to form, people a little impatient, wanting to get their books and go on their way. But someone in the line began to recognize the nature of this conversation. And she walked over to Joe and put her hand on his shoulder, and she said, my turn. And he handed her the phone. And she got on the phone. And she started speaking to this stranger, words of encouragement. I know it's bad, but you are not alone. I know it's hard, but better days will come. And as she continued to talk, Joe returned to the register, but a lot of the people got out of line and went and formed a line for the phone. Whoever it was that called that bookstore that day was fortunate that he or she found grace and love on the other end of the line. But I would suggest that for you and me, let's not be so casual about it. Let's bring some intentionality to it. I think one of the things that I glean from this list of names from the Apostle Paul is he's paying attention to who he admires, to who he's grateful for, to who gives him life and his strength, even in the hard time. Paul makes a list of people in this life that have kept him grounded, that have given him peace and a sense of joy, even in prison. And when he needs it most, he rehearses the list and he says, I need to see you. I've told you a number of times that a spiritual practice of mine is that I carry in my wallet this folded, broken down piece of purple paper. It is worn out and I should throw it out. My wife would love me to throw things out like this. Who could blame her? I can't do it because on this piece of paper is just a list of names. It's a list of names of people who have shown me in one way or another what it is to be Christian. It's a list of names of people who have loved me, some who have forgiven me, some who have inspired me, all of whom who are a source of joy for me. And I don't look at this piece of paper every day, but I look at it every day that I need to. And last month, when I was speaking at Montreat, I shared with the youth that this is a practice of mine, and I did something I very seldom do. I told them a name on the paper. I don't do that because nobody knows they're on this piece of paper. It's not for them. It's for me. But I told them one of the names was Dr. Bob. I told them about his courage, how he gave voice to those who had no voice, how he stood for a church defined by who we welcome rather than who we keep out. And I also told them that how for 50 years of ministry and for almost 30 years of retirement, he urged everyone he met to be of good cheer, to choose joy. And I carry his name with me, and on days that I need to, I pull it out and I read through it like rehearsing the saints. And it reminds me of those in my life who have strengthened me. And this little piece of paper has taught me that joy lives in relationship. As Cole Arthur Riley, a young African-American writer, has written, she says, joy is inherently communal. I think she's right. She continues that joy is less a form of happiness, it is a form of peace, because it is rooted in the knowledge that we are loved, that we belong, that we have others in our corner, that our lives are not a solo act. There are a lot of days we can tend to forget that. And so I think it might be helpful to have a list of the folks who remind us that we matter, that we belong, that we are loved. So I want to invite you to consider doing something. In the little pew racks in front of you, there's some little purple pieces of paper. I invite you to take one. And you don't have to fill it out now. Maybe you want to think about it a little while. But take one of those purple pieces of paper and consider putting some names on there. Names of people who have loved you. Names of people who have inspired you. Maybe names of people who have forgiven you from time to time. Names of people who have shown you what it is to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Names of people that if you found yourself in the dark night of the soul, you might want to call. Not make a random call, but know who it is that you want on the other end of the line. Take some time to think about that and write those names down and consider carrying them around with you to remind you that you never walk alone, to remind you even in the face of the storm, there is strength and there is grace there. Consider carrying them around with you. You'll forget they're there a lot of days. That'll be good. But on the days that you need them, it'll be an encouragement to read their names, to remember those stories, to remember why you put their name there. And if you were like me, and I'm betting that you are, just listing them will be a source of joy. Pray with me. Gracious God, we believe. Help our unbelief. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon at Village Presbyterian Church. Learn more about us at villagepres.org. And we invite you to join us again next week.